This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Right now, we want to turn to the new cholesterol guidelines that the government has just issued. Perhaps you read about it this morning. The new cholesterol targets are considerably lower than the previously recommended levels. Is any cholesterol level too low? How low should yours be? Are you high risk or medium risk? And how do you know? Give us a call with your questions, 800-989-8255, or send us an email at totn@npr.org. Joining us to discuss the new guidelines is Dr. Daniel Rader, Director of Preventive Cardiology at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. He joins us from Audio Post Studios in Philadelphia. Thanks for being with us, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
Now, how low are these new recommended levels compared to previous targets?
Well, the previous guidelines came out in 2001, and since then there have been several trials that have come out that have suggested that even lower is better. So these recommendations are really addressing those trials and saying, you know, we probably should be trying to lower people's cholesterol levels even lower than what the previous guidelines said.
And what are those levels? Give me the numbers.
Well, the key number that everyone has heard of, or most people, is the LDL of 100. Many people know that they are supposed to lower their LDL, or the bad cholesterol, to less than 100, particularly if they're at higher risk for having heart disease. One of the aspects of these new recommendations are that in high-risk people, they could lower their LDLs as low as 70 or below. And that's a new recommendation that affects millions of people in this country alone.
Now, has 100 always been the target? Is that what you're saying?
No,
that's the new target?
100 was the target as of 2001 for high-risk people, people who have heart disease, people who have diabetes, people who have multiple risk factors, when you put them all together, suggest very high risk. Now the high-risk target is 70, and 100 is a target for people who are just moderate risk, people who maybe have high blood pressure or who also smoke but aren't the highest risk category. So essentially, we've ratcheted all the guidelines down. The highest risk people are down to 70. The moderate risk people are now kind of down to 100, which used to be the high risk category.
What's the rationale behind this? Why is this?
The rationale is we've actually had a remarkable number of additional studies that have really conclusively proven that you benefit from cholesterol reduction, not just if your cholesterol is high, but if your cholesterol is normal or even low, if you're at high risk for having heart disease because of other things like diabetes. So I'd say one of the key concepts that we want to get across to people is that cholesterol lowering is no longer for people with high cholesterol. It's for people who are at high risk or even moderate risk of developing heart disease in the future.
And the way to do this is through drugs?
Well, of course, lifestyle, diet, exercise, regular activity, weight control are very important public health measures to lower cholesterol and reduce heart disease risk. We're not withdrawing back from that as a public policy principle, but what we're saying from a practical standpoint is that to achieve LDL levels of 70 or below for most people using diet alone is very difficult to do, and for all practical purposes, the vast majority of people who need to get their LDLs down into that range will need to take drug therapy.
And so does this mean that more people should be going on to these drugs, the statin drugs? Or should
Probably.
They be increasing their dosages?
Probably. The answer is yes to both of those questions. In other words, adherence to these new guidelines or new recommendations would really mean that more people would go on drug therapy, and the people who are on drug therapy probably need to be using higher doses or even in some cases a second medication to try to achieve these fairly aggressive goals.
I think the pharmaceutical industry is going to be happy to hear about this then.
Well, there's no question that statins and cholesterol-lowering drugs in general have been proven to be remarkably effective and even cost-effective in terms of reducing heart disease risk. And so while, of course, the companies that sell these drugs are happy about this, I think as a nation, as we get more aggressive in treating cholesterol, we are going to see continued declines in both heart disease and stroke.
Do you think that these kinds of findings and the recommendations that that the drugs really are key to lowering your cholesterol are going to mean that people are going to take the drugs and forget about the lifestyle questions?
That's a question I get asked a lot. Does being prescribed a medication essentially send the signal to a patient, I don't need to worry about diet and exercise anymore. Now I have my pill. Of course, some patients do respond that way. It's hard to get across the fact that drugs are an accompaniment to lifestyle, not a replacement for it. And yet, I have to say that in the patients that I see, most of them understand that a good diet, regular activity, is really important for long-time, lifetime health, even above and beyond its effects on cholesterol. And I think we need to get across the point that these are important issues for weight control and for all sorts of other diseases, not just high cholesterol.
All right. We're talking about the new guidelines and targets for cholesterol. We're going to take a call now from Carl. He's in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Carl. Go ahead. Carl, you there?
Yes. I exercise and watch my diet, and I have good HDL and triglyceride levels. My LDL is 120. My doctor says that's due to genetics and that I can't do much about that. Should I consider statins?
Well, Carl, you didn't say anything about any other risk factors like diabetes, high blood pressure, smoking. Having said that, it sounds like you're not a particularly high-risk person, and therefore an LDL of 120 is perfectly acceptable. So you bring up an important point. Not everybody needs to have their LDL less than 100. It's only people who are in a higher risk category who have at least one or two other risk factors who really need to be thinking about pushing their LDL down to below 100.
All right. Thanks for your call, Carl.
You're welcome.
Now, did the target used to be below 200? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. So let me clarify. 200 is a total cholesterol number.
Okay.
So while ago, we were talking about screening, where if your cholesterol was over 200, you should then have the full breakdown of the good and the bad, the LDL and the HDL. We're sort of going away from total cholesterol. Total cholesterol is sort of a meaningless number now, and we're focused more on the LDL, the low-density lipoprotein or bad cholesterol, and the HDL, the high-density lipoprotein or the good cholesterol. And what we've recommended and what are, frankly, the formal recommendations, guidelines, are that every adult know the full breakdown, not just their total, not just that total of 210 or 180, but the breakdown of the LDL and the HDL, because that's really where the information is about what we need to do to optimally try to help people and reduce their risk.
Now, can the good cholesterol help offset the bad cholesterol?
It can to a certain extent. So if someone has a high good cholesterol, and we define high HDL as greater than 60. So if your HDL is greater than 60, it helps to offset some of your other risk factors in a modest way. However, if you're at very high risk or you already have heart disease or diabetes, a high HDL isn't going to fully offset things, and you still probably need to take a medication to lower the bad cholesterol.
All right, let's see if we can get another call in here. Janet in San Diego, California. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Go ahead.
All right. I've been hearing all this discussion about increasing or taking statins and taking a large amount. Isn't there any support for taking low-dose statins, particularly for elder people, if they achieve the numbers that you're talking about? I'm so afraid that people are going to dismiss taking low doses, not only the traditional, let's say, 10 milligrams, but even 5 milligrams may indeed achieve the levels of LDL and total cholesterol that you recommend.
All right. Thanks for your question, Janet. And let's see what Dr. Rader has to say. Dr. Rader?
Janet, I can't agree with you more. If you can achieve an LDL cholesterol level recommended according to these targets that you need, where you need to be, and you can do that with a low dose of a statin, then that's all you need to take. Now, I have one caveat. These recommendations also said that if you're going to take a medication for cholesterol, you should lower your LDL by at least 30%. So if your LDL is 120, like the last gentleman who called, and if you take a statin to lower it, you should probably be wanting to get down around the 80 range, so about a 30% drop. But yes, if you can achieve that with a low dose of statin, then by all means, that's all you need to take.
Okay. Let me remind our listeners that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Dr. Rader, I imagine that a lot of Americans don't know what their cholesterol level is. Should everybody be getting a blood test to find this out?
Definitively, yes. So the guidelines say every adult should know not just their cholesterol, but the whole breakdown, the LDL and the HDL. And I would recommend that every adult know what these numbers are, go to their doctor, ask for them if they haven't been offered, and really be aware that this is one of the most important ways that we can predict risk of heart disease and also intervene to prevent it. So there are many millions of people who simply do not know what their cholesterol numbers are even today.
Now, I have an email here from Ben, and he's asking, he's in Indiana, he asks, at what age do I need to worry about getting my cholesterol tested if there are no serious problems in my known family history?
Well, the guidelines say, and I agree with them, that all adults by the age of 20 should have the full cholesterol test. Now, the argument for that is that family history doesn't tell you everything. Sometimes a good family history still has in it people who might have high cholesterol. So if you don't check for it because it's an asymptomatic condition and simply wait for a problem to occur, it's too late. And there are many adults in their early 20s who, when screened for cholesterol, find they have a too high a cholesterol and are really motivated to do something about it, often with diet and exercise. Occasionally, in the rare young adult with very high cholesterol, medication is even required.
We've been talking about people with a high risk and high risk categories. Can you define those risk categories, and how do you know what category you fit into?
Defining the risk category is really, honestly, one of the hardest things about this. It's hard for individuals to do it themselves, but I can make a few simple statements. One is, if you already have heart disease, or you've had a stroke, or you have diabetes, you are in the highest risk category, and you're someone whose LDL should probably be lowered to less than 70. Now, the other way you can do is count risk factors. It's sort of simplistic, but if you have high blood pressure, a low good cholesterol, HDL, or you smoke, those are count as other risk factors, and if you have two or more of those, you are considered high risk as well. So, and then finally, there are formulas that your doctor can use to plug in a formula and determine what your risk is of having a heart attack over the next 10 years. If that risk is over 10%, you are considered high risk and should lower your LDL aggressively as well.
You didn't mention
weight. So
those
are ways that people can do it. I'm sorry, what was that?
You didn't mention weight, did you?
I didn't mention weight. It's very interesting. There's no doubt that obesity, weight, is a risk factor for developing heart disease. And yet it's been difficult to figure out how to include it exactly in our calculations of risk prediction. So believe it or not, in our formal ways that we calculate risk, weight currently is not incorporated into that. It's hard to believe, I know. And it's one of the things that we have to start to resolve is how do we incorporate weight and being overweight in our overall risk predictions of future risk of heart attack and stroke.
All right, we have an email from Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Are there potential side effects to taking statins?
Well, of course, any drug has potential side effects. I will say, though, that the statin class has been one of the safest drugs on record. When you look at the many millions of people who have taken statins and the relatively few side effects that have been had, this is a very safe drug class. Probably the most common thing that we see clinically is some people get muscle pains. Muscle pains do occur with statins in a minority of people. Sometimes it means that the people can't take the statins, although most people can usually find one that they'll tolerate. But in terms of overall safety to the liver, to the muscle, to any other problems, so far the statins have turned out to be really quite safe.
How expensive are they?
Well, I'm not an economist, and of course prices vary quite a bit from place to place. But statins can be expensive. I think they do range in the $2 per plus range per pill. So there's no doubt that someone who's paying out of pocket, this can be a major expense, as is true for most medications, of course. So this is an issue. Now, statins are cost effective, meaning it does cost a lot. But on the other hand, they reduce risk so substantially that to society, the calculation is that if you treat high risk people, you end up coming even, breaking even, or maybe even saving money because of all the heart attacks you've prevented.
And another question from an email, once you are on statins, do you have to stay on them for life?
Well, it's always hard to predict the future. But in general, what we tell patients is if you have a reason to go on a statin now, that reason probably isn't going to change, and therefore you're probably looking at taking this medication for a long time, yes.
And are there any serious side effects over a lifetime, or is that even known yet?
Well, I think that's an important question when we talk about putting people in their 20s and 30s on statins, and then they might be on them for 40 or 50 years. We don't have data like that. The most data we have is about 15 years of follow-up experience with statins. So far, there has been no hint of any long-term consequences like cancers or serious other illnesses. But of course, we'll need longer-term data to really be sure.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Rader. Dr. Rader is the Director of Preventive Cardiology at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.